Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you that you are our God and that you speak to us. Father, we thank you that you build the church on your word. And we pray this morning that you might encourage us as we hear more about who you are as you speak to us. Amen. Today, we are asking the question, why bother with the church? We ask that question for a number of reasons. Some of us may think that the church is a broken institution, one that has failed time and time again. Some of us look at the church worldwide and we see hundreds of denominations. We see quarrels, bickering, disagreement, and we just don't want to be part of that kind of friction. Others may look at the church and just see a whole lot of people that are not like them. They might feel as if they don't belong in the church. We're just too different, they might say. We wouldn't fit in. From the other perspective, they might look at the church and agree that, yeah, it's nice. You know, the people in the church are lovely. But we just wouldn't want to be part of who they are. They're not our crowd and we wouldn't want to belong. For others of us, the church might seem to be stale, impotent. There are so many good things to be a part of these days. Over the past year, we've seen many of what seem to be exciting movements. We all want to be on the right side of history, making a difference and pushing towards a better world. Why be part of the church when you could fight for something like climate change? Why be part of the church when you could be part of powerful organizations that are really establishing themselves in the world and speaking into the issues today? Why be part of the church when it seems to be so irrelevant to the issues that the world is battling with? There are many, many reasons why people ask the question, why should we bother with the church? I've named just a few here as to why people don't want to bother with the church or the reasons they might give. It can range from the pettiest of things like the type of music, the preaching, the liturgy or the people, all the way through to it being perceived as a waste of time, being out of date, irrelevant and powerless. Why should we bother with the church? We bother with the church because it is as being part of the church that we hear God's voice. We bother with the church because God speaks to the church and through the church. We bother with the church because it is through the church that God addresses the world and invites those who are alienated into his presence. In our passage today in Ephesians chapter 2, the church or the people of God are described as a building being built into a holy temple. What are temples? Temples were places that people entered into, to come into the presence of God. The church, the saints, the body of believers are a temple being built by God. And it is in the church that you will hear the voice of God speaking. What are the foundations of the church in Ephesians chapter 2? It's the apostles and the prophets. That's shorthand for the Old Testament and New Testament. The foundations of the voice of God spoken in the temple of the church is the voice of God as spoken through the apostles and the prophets. We bother with the church because it is in and through the church that God is made known to the world. There are a lot of questions being asked at the moment about life. The questions being asked by the world are too big for the world to answer. The world needs to hear God's voice. God is the one who is able to speak with authority about the world he created. He is the one who is able to bring order out of chaos. We are all desperate to hear God's voice. Well, God speaks through the church. God addresses the world through the church. In Genesis, God is the creator of all things. He created everything. He created everything by his word. He spoke and things came to be. Everything that has its existence because God spoke and by his word breathed life. God is the creator, and everything else is created. The very fact that God is creator and that we are created means that nothing is able to compare to him. Nothing in this world compares to God. Nothing is able to fully understand. Nobody is able to fully understand who God is. He is completely distinct from his creation. We cannot look into the world and expect to reason our ways to knowledge of God. We cannot expect to look into creation and discover who God is by it. Creation cannot give an account of the Creator. It's impossible. We cannot know who God is unless he makes himself known. Here in front of the church here, we've got a painting to look at. You can learn a lot about a painting. You can look at it, you can count all the colors on it, you can see all the different shapes and sizes of those shapes, you can see the width of it, the height of it. There's many things you could possibly tell about it. But the one thing the painting can't do is tell you anything about the creator, the painter. It can't tell you about who painted it and why they painted it. Now, I can. About 15 years ago, I guess, I bought that canvas to be painted. When I was growing up, my mom came home one day on a Friday night, and she brought a big blank piece of white paper and tried to get the family to join in to do something creative together. So she got this big white piece of paper, she got a black pen, and she drew all these scribbles around it. And the family's job was then to color those scribbles in. And we ended up with this massive picture. Starts off looking terrible, and in the end it sort of comes together and you end up with something like that. I bought that canvas as a blank canvas about 15 years ago with the hope that our family might sit around the table again and do something together to remind us of the good times in the past. That's not something you can learn from that canvas. It's something that needs to be given to you. It's information that needs to be volunteered to you by someone who is part of the painting, of painting it. You can't come to know who God is. You can't come to know about God's purposes for the world by looking at creation. If you want to know anything about God, you would need God to willingly speak to you. You would need God to voluntarily open up that conversation. You only come to know about who God is and what he's like as he speaks to you. We only come to know about who God is by his willingness to speak. Creation cannot give an account of who God is. He has to make himself known. But we're told in the scriptures that God speaks to us in the apostles and the prophets. When we read or hear the Bible, we are hearing God's voice. It's God who addresses us in his written word. Yes, the books of the Bible were written by fallible human beings, but God uses them as his instruments to address the world. He is the creator. He is the one who directs all of human history towards its purposes. He is the one who is able to forgive us and use us as sinful human beings for his glory. God used the apostles and the prophets, their written words, to make himself known. As we read through the apostles and the prophets, we hear God speaking to us. We hear God's word spoken to us. The church, standing on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, is a temple which God has built on his word. God addresses the world through the church as it stands on its foundations. We bother with the church because it is in and through the church that God's word is spoken. The transcendent creator reveals himself to the world through the church. the world desperately needs to hear about who God is. To have any knowledge of God, we need to hear Him speak. God has chosen to speak through the church as it holds to His written word. And that's why we bother about the church. God addresses the world through the church. But secondly, Jesus speaks to us today and builds the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are told that the church stands on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. And we're told then in verse 20 that Jesus is the cornerstone. A cornerstone is a massive stone laid as a foundation for a building. It bears the weight of the building and ties all the walls together. Archaeologists looking at the foundations of the Jerusalem temple discovered 5 massive cornerstones. The biggest one was 55 foot long, 11 foot high and 14 foot wide, weighing 570 tons. Cornerstones are key for holding a building together. In Ephesians chapter 2, God tells us Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church that bear witness to Jesus, the cornerstone. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus, after he's been resurrected from the dead, is walking along the Emmaus Road with his 2 disciples. They don't recognize who he is. He opens up the scriptures and begins to show them that everything written in Moses and the prophets were written about him. Again, later on in the same chapter, Luke 24, Jesus explains to the other disciples, everything written in the law of the prophets, Moses, and the Psalms were written about him. All of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, are words about Jesus. The apostles and the prophets are not only God's word to us, they're God's word to us about Jesus. As we read God's word, we meet God in the person of Jesus Christ. We bother with the church because it's through the church that the world is invited to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the scriptures as we have them are thousands of years old. They were written a long time ago. There are some who say that the church is irrelevant because we listen to words addressed to people thousands of years ago. To some, these books seem irrelevant. They might say the world's moved on, the church needs to catch up. Why are we still reading these books written by dead men? But here's the thing, I've already explained that the Bible is primarily God's word to us. In the scriptures, what we have is first and foremost the word of God. We hear the words of the living God speaking to us. It was the resurrected Lord Jesus who spoke to the disciples on the Emmaus Road. The resurrection shows that Jesus is not dead, but he is alive. Not only is he alive, but he is the source of all life. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is living, ruling, and reigning right now. And it's He who speaks to us in the scriptures. When we read the Bible, we're not simply reading the words of dead men, written thousands of years ago, addressed to their hearers. No, as we read the scriptures today, we hear the Lord, the living Lord Jesus, speaking to us in the present. He is alive, and He speaks to us through the apostles and the prophets. Jesus is alive and he speaks to us now, inviting us into relationship with him, inviting us into the church. The church is not an institutional body shaped, organized, and brought into being by people. The church is a body of believers summoned into fellowship by Jesus' address. As we hear Jesus address us in the words of Scripture, we are summoned to come together. We are summoned to come together as those who trust in him. And as we respond in faith, we are being built up into a holy temple, a temple to which people are able to come and encounter Jesus Christ as the living Lord. We bother about the church because it is as the church that we respond to Jesus Christ. The church is not a building or a Sunday ritual or a denominational institution. It's a body of believers responding to Jesus' call in Scripture. We bother with the church because the resurrected Lord Jesus speaks to the church today. and continues to build it up by his word. We bother with the church because God speaks to the world through the church. We bother with the church because it's Jesus who addresses the church in his word. We bother with the church because it's the Holy Spirit who makes the church understand God's word. God is the creator. He's the creator and we are the creatures. This means there's a vast chasm between that separates us from who God is. There's a vast chasm that separates us from the knowledge of who God is. It's not only the distinction between us being created and him being creator that separates us. It's also the fact that we are sinners by nature. We're not only limited in our understanding of God, but there is something about us that actively works against us trusting in the Lord and coming to knowledge about who he is. Whenever we come to read God's word, we come to it as sinners. We do not come to it as innocent or neutral. We hear God's word and naturally stand in opposition to it. Which means when we read God's word, it's not always going to say the things that we want to hear. We're not always going to be on board with what God is saying. God not only invites us into relationship with him, but he confronts us and he challenges us. As we read God's word, we are called to be transformed by it. Now, of course, we all want to say we need to be transformed. We want to change. We want to grow. But that means we first have to acknowledge that when we come to God's word, we come to it as those who need to change. We come to God's word as those blinded by sin, darkened in understanding, alienated from God. When we come to God's word, we are addressed by God as those needing his help. We need help, and it is here that the Holy Spirit is essential. The Spirit of God opens our eyes, convicts us of sin, and humbles us before God, enabling us not only to understand who God is, but who he is. The same Spirit that inspired the scriptures we read is the same Spirit that enables us to understand them and humbly submit to them in obedience. Why do we bother with the church? Because it is in the church that we are confronted with the reality of who God is. It is in the church that we hear God's voice and are asked to change, to be transformed, and to submit to his will. We bother with the church because God has committed himself to transforming the world through the church as it submits to his word. Everything I've been speaking about this morning has had to do with the church being dependent on God's spoken word. God speaks and he creates by his word. God speaks through the apostles and the prophets. Jesus addresses us today as the living Lord speaking through the scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to understand the scriptures and who makes us willing to be challenged and transformed by them. Why do we bother with the church? We bother with the church because God addresses the church. We bother with the church because it is Jesus Christ who summons the church into being by his word. We bother with the church because it is through the church that God addresses the world, bringing it to knowledge of himself. Just three short points of application from all of this. We bother with the church because the church is where we hear God's voice. God speaks to the church through the scriptures. There are many communities of faith that call themselves churches but do not hold onto the truth of the scriptures. The church is only a church as it is shaped and defined by scripture. There is no point in bothering about so-called churches if they no longer hold to the authority of scripture. A church is only part of the church if it stands on the authority of God's word revealed in scriptures. Second, recognizing that it is God who speaks in the scriptures must have an effect on our posture towards the Bible. God is speaking. We need to listen. We need to have a posture of humility as we approach the scriptures. We need to come to it recognizing that God is God and we need to be changed by his voice. We need to trust his word. We need to pray for understanding. Where scripture confronts us and makes us feel uncomfortable, we need to humble ourselves before God and ask him for his help. We need to submit ourselves to God, asking him to enable us to understand his word and shape us by it. We need to approach God's word in humility. Third and finally, if, as Ephesians tells us, that the church is a community of believers being built up and summoned together by Christ, we need to appreciate the church. We need to love and serve each other, recognizing that none of us would be a part of the church were it not for Jesus calling us into it. We need to recognize that the church is not a perfect place filled with perfect people, but rather a community trusting in the Lord and working towards loving him faithfully. We need to recognize, however, that as a flawed community, as flawed as we might be, God is able and does use the weakness of the church for his glory. God summons the world by his word through a community of believers who hold firm to the scriptures. The church has the greatest of calls. We are called to hear the voice of God and make his voice heard. God equips the church for that purpose. We are called to hear his voice and make his voice heard. That's what we're called for. There is no greater cause. That's why we bother with the church. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that it's through your Son that you've called us into being. We thank you for the power of your word, and we pray for your help, Lord. Help us to submit to it, to listen to your voice and obey. Lord, we pray as your church that you would enable us to go out into the world and share it with others, bringing them into relationship with your Son. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.